Louis the Fly, remember him? Remember Peebo? Flies have formed an annoying part of pretty much every Australian spring and summer since time immemorial. But there are those out to disprove their bad name. Fly maggots are not the first thing to spring to mind when it comes to sustainable agriculture. But the larvae from black soldier flies could provide the solution to converting waste into a high-protein animal feed. That's exactly what's happening inside a shipping container in inner-city Cremorne in Melbourne. Reporter Larissa Romanski met up with two millennials who head up the biotech company Karma 3 to find out what they're up to.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a fan of the common fly. Most Australians spend their time swatting them or spraying them to oblivion. But the innocuous black soldier fly that was introduced to Australia in the 1960s could be considered an eco-warrior of sorts. As 28-year-old Chief Executive Officer James Sackle explains.
Basically, we see them as the sustainable way of the future. So basically, we're working on the technology to make that happen.
While the black soldier fly mightn't be good at flying, they're pretty good at breeding. For the 1 week of its short life, the fly can lay anywhere between 100 to 500 eggs. And as soon as those eggs hatch, the hard-working larvae begin breaking down organic matter into a protein-based substance used to feed animals.
These particular species of insects self-harvest. So when they've had enough to eat, basically they wriggle out of their food and basically say, eat me. So when they're done eating, they're done growing, they wriggle out. And we've incorporated that into our designs to sort of maximise that.
But the ability of the black soldier fly to control diseases gives it its special quality, as Chief Scientific Officer Martin Pike explains.
So the flies themselves, they don't actually eat. They basically just live for a week. They drink a bit of water and lay eggs, and then they die. So in terms of the flies, they're very uninteresting. But they don't use food at all. So they're not a vector for disease. But then when you have the larvae, that's where the interesting thing starts to come into play. They have a lot of bacteria in their gut that you can sort of compare to a probiotic. It can chew through almost any sort of toxin, bacteria, things like that that are commonly a problem, like Salmonella or E. coli. They dramatically reduce contamination levels in any sort of feedstock. And then the end product itself is just naturally free from any sort of bacteria or virus or fungal infection, things like that.
And with the company currently producing a nutritional content of 60 to 65% protein, Martin Pike said it made an ideal substitute for soybean meal, currently used in many animal feeds.
Protein that they produce is just in their biomass. So we separate the larvae from what remains, and we can process the larvae to get the protein.
He said the main industry that is using the product is aquaculture.
So carnivorous fish, they consume a lot of fish meal. That's generally sort of the main perception of, oh, wow, this is a really good replacement for fish meal. And that's true. But also in terms of poultry industry, there are advantages for using these larvae as a protein source there. Potentially in swine as well. That's something we're looking into at the moment as well.
By replacing fish meal with a protein-based substance made by the larvae, the company hoped to reduce their carbon footprint by keeping production local, as James Sackle explains.
Basically, the goal is to reduce the carbon footprint for what currently happens. So what currently happens is fish meal, or fish are caught out of, say, a jurisdiction like Peru, right? They're processed there, they're then shipped all those miles across to Australia, and then they're inserted into a fish diet. What we hope to do is basically have everything localised. So the waste stream comes locally, the livestock are processed locally, and then the protein is sent to local customers only. That's the idea. So basically it's each jurisdiction has its own little ecosystem.
It's not just the ability of the larvae to produce animal food that is being lauded. It's the reduction of waste that would otherwise end up in landfill that is a desirable and sustainable outcome for the company.
So at the moment, we're doing it from local businesses. So we're offering a free waste collection service for local businesses. What we're hoping to do basically is get a really mixed waste stream so that we can experiment with different sorts of streams in our colonies.
So not just inner city cafes and restaurants.
So we're talking supermarkets, hospitals, schools, food manufacturers, farms, sort of agricultural businesses, anywhere that sort of produces sort of pre or post-consumer food waste.
And the company is hoping that the expansion into waste services will happen once their business moves to the new undercover larger facilities near Geelong.
So we've got tremendous support from the council to do so. We've got support from sort of local waste companies. We're sledging that as the first of many facilities.
Even though Chief Scientist Martin Pike could envision people one day eating the protein source produced by fly larvae, he said public perception would make it difficult.
But we're hoping to change that. We're hoping that we can basically show people that this isn't just a novelty. It's not something that's gross or disgusting. It's actually something that's very cool and very nutritious. And you see at the moment things like cricket meal, cricket protein. We're hoping that, you know, in the long run, we can introduce some sort of feed into the human food chain.
At the moment, the company is focused on commercial negotiations with animal feed producers. James Sackle.
We're talking about a company that controls 25% of the world's food source. We're talking about the largest aquafeed producer in the world. We're talking to Australia's largest animal feed producer. There's some big players out there that have expressed interest and are at the point now where sort of they're signing supply agreements with us.
And that was CEO James Sackle from the Melbourne biotech company Karma 3 talking about breeding black soldier flies. I don't know. I'm not sure about human consumption there. It might take a bit of convincing. You can read more about our black flies if you head online. Just search for A Country Breakfast. Now, if you want extra pocket money when you're a child, the usual way to get it is to help out your parents. But for then 9-year-old Josh Murray, that meant selling eggs from his parents' farm to the neighbours. But the feeling that too much Lego bought with pocket money was never enough sparked an entrepreneurial streak in Josh, who is now 16. Now he runs Josh's Rainbow Eggs, a fully-fledged egg farm producing 55,000 free-range eggs per week near Gisborne, an hour's drive north of Melbourne.
Back ages ago when we first got the farm, we always had chickens, and Mum normally looked after them. What I did was just collect the eggs. But after a bit, I sort of wanted some pocket money to buy Lego with. And so I saw the chickens as a really great opportunity to do that. So I said to Mum, hey, I'll take over the chickens. And then I started selling our eggs to neighbours. Also, sort of about halfway through that whole little journey in Gisborne, I decided I was going to try at farmers markets. And it got to the point where the farmers markets were sort of big enough. And then I stopped going to Gisborne because it's a lot of time as well. So we went to the food works in one of the towns we always did a farmers market at, Riddles Creek, and they were surprisingly easy, you know, to deal with and get on with. And so from that food works, we progressed into all of the food works and IGAs in like our area, the Macedon Ranges Shire.
So you're a fully fledged businessman. This has gone from something quite small to this is a serious business now.
Yeah, it is. I'm very lucky.
What do you enjoy about it?
I really enjoy meeting the customers and also just the quiet satisfaction of the work. Like, you go out to the field, you collect from like one of our sheds, you get that done, you bring them back, you put the eggs away and it's sort of done. And you can look back on your day and be like, wow, I did that. But I mean, really dealing with the customers is probably one of my favorite things. Yeah.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, it's just more that like you get the opportunity to educate people and I like talking to people.
When you're talking to your customers, why do they want to buy eggs from you as opposed to the cheapest eggs they can find?
Well, it's just that I can sort of show them and show them that the eggs we produce are ethical and I really do have like the chicken's best interests at heart.
Well, on that note, let's talk about the sheds. They're pretty incredible. We've just taken a little look at them. One of the first things I saw were the big wheels so they can move.
Yes.
Why is that important?
Because if they don't move, then the ground will get sort of, what's the word? Compacted, overused, and grass won't really be able to grow there anymore. So if you don't move the chickens, it'll turn into sort of like a wasteland after about 3 months. So if you move them, we move the sheds every month, round about, and that means that there's enough time for the chickens' poo to sort of affect the soil positively, but also not too much time. Mm-hmm. And so obviously if you move them, then it also means that the chickens get access to new grass and land.
And they're automated as well. So tell us about how that works.
Okay, so we've got a couple fronts of automation, watering automation, feed automation, and egg collection automation. So the feed automation is pretty simple. There's a silo on the side and feed sort of flows down into the feeders. The watering automation is pretty simple as well. It's just a basic waterer. But the egg automation is very important. So what happens is if there's two rows of egg boxes on either side of the belt where the chickens can lay eggs, and they're on a slope. And so the eggs flow onto a conveyor belt that is powered by a motor that we can collect from very quickly and easily.
And the other thing too is that it's all off the grid, so it just runs off solar power.
Yeah, that's pretty important to us as well, because, you know, if we're solar paneled, it's like truly sustainable for us and the land.
So using that kind of ethical viewpoint, again, why is that important to you? Why is that something that you really focused on?
Because I really do believe that, like, we've got to be good to the environment, because, you know, it does a lot for us. And also, like, the chickens, they're doing, like, a lot for us. They're giving us eggs, and we don't really, like, chickens don't eat that much. Like, they're doing us a big favor, and I feel like we've really got to, you know, return that favor and look after them well and, like, ensure they have a good life.
So tell us about the chickens themselves. Do you form a bit of a connection with them?
I have a flock. Like, you know, different flocks have different personalities, because normally chickens will sort of all, like, a flock will act a similar way. So the flocks in shed, I think it's shed 4, they're like, if you go into the shed, they'll, like, peck the bottom of your trousers and your shoelaces, right? Whereas the other chickens, they'll be like, they won't be not friendly, and they never do that. And so you sort of, like, you grow connections to, like, flocks of chickens, if you know what I mean. Because the individual chickens, like, it's really hard to, like, tell them apart, I guess. Because they're all brown. And I mean, obviously, if I had them in my backyard, I could probably tell the difference. But when there's, like, 2,000 of them, like, you can't really see how they're different.
That's Josh Murray, who founded Josh's Rainbow Eggs. He was speaking very enthusiastically with Nikolai Bailharts.